Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. This weekend, you can bring the kids to the Children's Museum of South Dakota for some making, inventing, and tinkering. The museum offers a new maker studio for those five and older. They have an open house this Friday, November 10th from 2 to 4 Central Time. Joining us for more, Carrie Benson. She's Director of Programming for the Children's Museum. Carrie, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
All right, tell me about how this all got started and how long have you been planning and sort of lovingly preparing this space for kids?
Well, we started dreaming and thinking about this space way back in January of this year. And then we kind of developed a research plan that we implemented throughout the summer. And then once summer was completed, we looked at our research and began developing this space. And now we've been open for just a little over a month.
All right. The research plan, did it tell you that there are spaces like this across the country?
It did, yes. We've noticed a lot. We network and keep in touch with many children's museums across the country, and it's just been a very growing trend. And Brookings is also a part of the maker movement, so we just saw it as a great opportunity to look at a space that we currently have and think about a new inventive way that we could use it and support our guest learning in a creative and ever-evolving way.
All right, 5 years old. What at the age of five can kids get out of a maker space?
They can get a chance just to be empowered to explore their own questions, go through that process of making. When you think of an idea, then you can design how you want to explore it, maybe make it. We encourage them to work through struggles. We almost intentionally set up opportunities where there might be a struggle or a challenge, just to help develop those skills of problem solving and working through things and knowing that it's okay if it doesn't work the right way the first time. You can always try again and learn from your experiences.
Let's talk about the maker movement. You said Brookings is a part of the maker movement nationwide. What exactly is that? What do you mean?
I think the community of Brookings as a whole just really values making. There is a maker space on campus at the Research Park on the SDSU campus that really supports adult making. We're seeing it more and more in the schools. They're having maker experiences, whether it's a genius hour or just labs within the school directly where they can explore making in a variety of ways. We've got a maker festival that happens. We had just had our second annual one this past September that's hosted by the Brookings Economic Corporation, but they do it directly on our Cadoodle Way in front of the Children's Museum that just celebrates the variety of makers that are in the Brookings community. And there's some new programs that support children as makers through entrepreneurship to celebrate the different ways that kids make as well.
All right. What's in your space? When we talk about making and solving problems and overcoming struggles, you know, what's in the physical space? What do I walk in there and see?
Well, one very special thing about our maker studio space is that the physical space of it and what's available is very flexible. It evolves as the kids' interests evolve within the space. When we first opened, we were exploring robotics and circuitry and coding. We had some weaving, some sculpture activities happening. Then as kids joined us after school, there became a strong interest in exploring cars and motion and how things move. So we brought in some materials to support that. Our open house that happens tomorrow from 2 to 4, there'll be a variety. We'll have some coding activities. They can explore coding with our Code and Go mouse or our Codapillar. We'll have a few engineering opportunities where they can build with Legos or our straw builders. We have some games that are also challenging that support children in thinking of that balancing and problem solving through that. And then we have a few art activities as well to support making from more of the artistic side.
When I talk to folks across the state about maker movement and maker spaces, one of the things that I hear frequently is, with the exception of something like coding, the older people say, well, this is how we just used to grow up, you know, where you'd take something apart, put it back together, fix something, use a sewing machine, change the oil on your own car, take apart a carburetor. Are you seeing this as sort of a generational thing where kids coming in don't have the same opportunities to really use their hands in the same ways that they used to, that, you know, their grandparents or great-grandparents would have had in South Dakota?
I do agree with that. That's a very good point that you've made. And I think that one thing that we really wanted to support is that our maker studio does have things such as a computer and iPads, but they are used as more just an accessory. We don't have them out very frequently because we wanted to ensure that anything the kids explore in this space is very hands-on. They get to think of their own question. We don't necessarily always pose the question to them, and then we provide materials that they may think of that they want or that we may have on hand so they can truly, with their own hands, figure out the solution to the questions they're exploring.
How did the first open house go? What's some of the early feedback that you're getting on the space?
We got a lot of positive response just about how it supported kids to have access to materials they may not otherwise be able to explore, such as our robots, our circuitry kits. We have some objects that even maybe not all schools can have the resource to. So parents were just excited that there was another opportunity to explore their kids' interests after school or even on no school days where they can explore a variety of science and arts. And there was a lot of positive feedback that our intention of the space was to support the kids that come in and use the space. So they were really intrigued by the fact that our space is flexible and will evolve with the interests that the kids bring into the space. So the activities might change as the kids' interest and knowledge grows and change.
So it really seems like a great fit for the Children's Museum because pretty much everything when you walk in there is a hands-on exploration.
Yes, we definitely wanted to ensure that this space, as we developed it, supports the mission of the Children's Museum, which is just promoting learning for children of all ages and abilities through interactive, informal, and hands-on exhibits or programming. So we wanted to make sure that we were sticking true to that informal learning and that hands-on aspect when the kids truly get to develop their own unique experience when they enter the Children's Museum.
I'm wondering if you'd be willing to wrap up with us for a couple minutes about Cultural Appreciation Day. You had that earlier in the week. We spoke with another guest. Now that that's over, I'm wondering if you have, some reflections on how that day went.
I do. I was a part of that planning committee, and the event just happened yesterday. So we had a little over 250 fifth graders that were able to enter our space. And they got to meet with 15 different organizations or groups from the Brookings community and SDSU to explore the different cultures where they are from. And then they got to explore their own personal culture, which was a really unique, interesting challenge for the students. But it was amazing to see how much they opened up and the surprises and things that they learned about themselves and about their classmates. And there's just a lot of value in celebrating the similarities they discovered and the differences and helping them just broaden that definition of diversity to be more than just maybe the language you speak or the color of your skin, that it can also include your family, where you choose to live, your hobbies, your interests, maybe what you want to be when you grow up. So it was very rewarding to have children explore that and really celebrate the similarities and differences that they share.
I know you can't give any, names or specifics in that way, but can you think of a story from the day that, resonates, that after it was over, you thought, yeah, that was what we did all this for. This is why we're here.
We had a lot of comments from the kids. We asked reflective questions after the activities, encouraging them to share things that surprised them or even things that made them nervous. And one little girl shared that she didn't know that her best friend, that has been her best friend for 4 years, was Norwegian, and that was part of her own background as well. So they kind of had those fun discoveries of people that they've considered their best friends for years. We had children openly share that there were certain things they were shy about that they didn't know they wanted to share. Maybe one little girl was really loved volleyball, but she didn't know if anyone else at her table liked volleyball. But then she got brave and shared that she did, and she found another classmate that did. So I think just encouraging that courage to be comfortable sharing things about who you are as a person and also helping the students learn just positive ways to learn more about others by asking questions.
Helping them show up in the world and be themselves. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Carrie Benson is Director of Programming at the Children's Museum of South Dakota. You can go to the open house. Give us the day again, Carrie. Is it tomorrow?
It is tomorrow. So it is tomorrow, November 10th, I believe.
November 10th. All right.
And it is
what
from
time?
2 to 4 p.m. 2 to 4 p.m.
All right. Bring the kids. Make a day of it. Carrie Benson, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you.